What's up, citizens of Apologia? This is King Ginger, and I just wanted to take a moment to encourage you all to sign up for Apologia All Access. When you sign up for Apologia All Access, you're going to get exclusive on-demand content. This means that you and your entire family are going to get to watch every single TV show, every single after show, and every single Apologia Academy, with new content dropping every single week. But most importantly, your contribution helps Apologia Studios create quality, Christ-centered entertainment that reaches millions of people on our YouTube channels and through our podcast with the gospel. So what are you waiting for? Change everything at ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
What? What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
You shall not steal. Exodus 20:15. Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. This is a gospel heard around the world, coming at you guys from Phoenix, Arizona. That's Luke the Bear.
What up?
That's Joy the Girl right there.
Hello.
Joining the studio today, also by Austin.
Hello.
What's up, dude?
Oh, you know. Just chilling.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing.
Good. Right on. And Marcus Pittman, King Ginger on the ones and twos.
What's up?
Hey, dude.
I'm doing all right.
All right. Well, we have had a busy week here at the studio. We had we've lost a week. Many of you guys heard about the loss of Sarah Arrington at Apologia Church, our, a member of our church, sweet sister, mother of seven. We had a funeral service for her, and continue, if you would, to pray for the Arrington family. She was just a tremendous gift to this church and to the world, really. And pray for us as we minister to that family as a church over the long run. And so we've had a busy week getting caught up on episodes, getting caught up with counseling, getting caught up with episodes, new episodes of The Studio. If you haven't seen that yet, The Studio is at Apologia Studios on YouTube. The first three episodes are up there. And let me just tell you right now, it is going to get better and better and better. I'm just so excited. What's
that noise?
Oh, that's my music, yo.
Oh.
Yeah.
You need something else, man.
This
is like,
man.
Four episodes in a row you played this soundtrack.
That's Paul Oakenfold.
And nobody likes it. Hey, did,
Wait, you can't
did
not
D-Lo, did
like
D-
this.
Did D-Lo bust on your Oakenfold
David
desires?
Lerman?
Yeah.
Did he?
He was asking me what music you listen to, because he said he was going to bust on you or something.
Oh, man.
I told him.
How could you not like this?
Paul Oakenshield.
Paul Oakenshield. You know,
there's a lot of reasons why I cannot like this.
I was into Paul Oakenfold before anybody else knew him.
I need some help here.
I went to a little, like, teeny tiny private little DJ set that he did in Tempe, like in 1999 or something like that. No, I mean, people knew who he was. You know, he got paid $200,000 at that time. Not even, like, now it's astronomically more. But he would get paid $200,000 for a two-hour set. And from what I understand, the rumors that I heard, he would walk up, he would place a timer right there on the DJ table, the ones and twos. He would hit start, and he would start playing, and at 2 hours, he would cut $200,000. I'll tell you what, there are ways, dude. You don't even want to know. There are ways to make money.
We won't talk about what was going on at that concert.
Oh, I was using drugs. And
what else would you do at an Oakenfold concert?
Yeah, and I repented, and not everyone there was doing drugs, but I certainly was. And then Jesus saved my life, and to God be the glory. But Paul Oakenfold is still the bomb, saved or unsaved. You know, what's funny is I actually had this moment of really great encouragement at the Bonson conference last year. And it wasn't maybe from what you think. I'm like, the messages were great. Dr. K. Scott Oliphant's message he gave on apologetics is my favorite message on apologetics. I mean, by far. But the encouraging moment for me was when David Bonson, Greg Bonson's son, went up and he was describing, you know, his dad and life with his dad. And when he did this, like this couple minutes, I think, tirade on Christian music and how Greg Bonson absolutely loathed Christian music. Like, obviously hymns and stuff. He loved worship music, but he absolutely hated...
Like contemporary Christian
music. Hated contemporary Christian music with a passion, a fire-fueled passion, and loved, you know, some of the great modern artists that weren't Christian. And, you know, he had his way. I have mine. I like Oakenfold.
You know what else he hated?
What?
Whatever that is you're listening to right now.
No, I think he'd dig it. I think he'd dig it because it's objectively beautiful.
I'm just thinking about how cool you are right now, Jeff.
Are you thinking about how cool I am?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, wait, that was sarcastic. That was sarcastic.
I bet you were also wearing that seatbelt belt at that concert.
And your mesh tank top.
Mesh tank top.
Whatever, I never wore a mesh tank top.
You took it off at that concert.
You did.
Okay. All right, so.
Can we talk about the new show that's coming out?
Yeah, please. Like, that's what I was trying to do.
All right.
Change the subject.
That's what I was trying to do, and so they brought up my mesh...
Just
sure that never even existed.
Just one more time, mesh tank top.
I never wore a mesh tank top.
Moving on.
Okay.
Moving on.
Joy, what are you working on? It's your show, right?
What?
Oh, my show. Wait.
The radio show with Summer.
Man, that was okay. Not a smooth transition.
So much, I'm sorry, I was trying
not
to change.
A smooth transition.
I was trying to change the subject from the mesh tank top very
Marcus,
quickly.
Marcus,
the
we have so much Sousa. Going on in Apologia
right,
Studios.
That's why I didn't,
you're going to be much more specific.
Okay. I was like, what am I working on? Don't make me think about that. So Summer, White, and I are doing a show called Sheologians. And
oh,
we,
really? This is the first time you've announced that?
No.
Oh, it was
it is
a while
not
ago?
The first time. Yeah, it was a while ago.
Good
so
things take time.
They
That's
do.
True.
So we, you know, you guys may have seen the logo floating around on
which is
Facebook.
Hashtag dope.
Which Joy did, by the way.
Yes,
she drew that by with her own little hands.
Yes, I did. They're little too. They are.
Not as little
but,
as some people
so
we know.
So the episodes are coming out. When are they coming out? Marcus?
Hopefully get them up in the next day or two.
Okay, so they'll be up by the time people are actually listening to this.
Yes.
You'll be able to listen to our show, and there will be four episodes up, and then they will come out every week after that.
Did you know that I will be on every episode of Sheologians?
Technically, yes,
can
you,
do
you
it?
Will.
Can you do it
nope,
right now? Why not?
Not
come
doing
on,
it right
no,
now.
No, because it's trademarked, and if he does it, he'll have to pay us money.
Okay, that's
just
true.
Say Austin got the boot, because he was terrible.
He gets royalties for every time he does it.
Why you gotta hurt, man?
P.S. I still love you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's fun, it's short, and simple.
Sheologians.
But if you're a man, don't learn anything
don't
from
learn
it.
Anything. Men
don't
from the show.
Yeah.
Don't
listen
learn
to
anything.
It,
don't listen.
But just cover your ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we have the studio. Actually, when this show comes out, the new episode of the studio will be up. That episode of the studio is called The Cooler. And let me just say, I think this is the best one so far because it is just so much just fun slapstick comedy
and Christians can't have fun.
And they can have fun.
Especially
and
not pastors.
No,
we
can't. Yeah, no, we can't.
Especially not pastors.
Have you read the YouTube comments?
I've
hashtag
read the YouTube comments.
You cannot laugh.
Yes.
You cannot.
Paul Washer would not approve.
What would Paul Washer think? That's
one,
actual YouTube
one
comment.
Guy,
what would Paul Washer?
One guy came on to, we never, by the way, if you make nasty comments in the YouTube channel, just know that we're probably not even paying attention. So like, if that's what like.
Not true.
If you get excited
that is
about
not
it.
Not true.
Like, well, maybe.
All we talk, all we do is talk about YouTube.
He has a very fragile heart.
I'm paying attention
heart.
To every single
well,
one.
You laughing.
Really does.
Okay, let me just say for my
WWPWT.
If you're trying to say a nasty comment to get into my skin,
I don't care.
I don't pay attention to the comments. There are literally thousands of comments a day that come in. Although I get to see some of them because some of them we see and we laugh at. And one guy in particular that we were laughing at this morning was the guy that said he posted under the thing. What was it? The guy that you sent a screenshot.
Oh, here, I'll show you.
I'm going to read
Straight Jesus juke.
Okay.
Like classic Jesus juke.
Okay, so Marcus, do you have it?
Yeah, I got it right now.
Okay.
The world gets enough meaningless, trivial nonsense. Be peculiar. If you want to do some little acting thing, put Christ in it.
Oh, we've come a long
There's
way.
A mic drop right
Goodness
there.
Goodness gracious. So the suggestion, I suppose... And this is why Christians absolutely are just out of all right meaningful media in the world. The suggestion, I suppose, is I have to put Jesus in any art we do or any film play we do. So like himself, like I have to like have a character like Jesus walk on to the show. Like,
right. I personally don't know what Jesus looked like.
Right.
So I don't want to misrepresent.
Of course, we know you're saying, oh, you should maybe talk about Jesus. Okay. So every single thing, every play, any piece of art anyone does, they have to force Jesus and the gospel message into. So, for example,
maybe
if you were
that TBN Jesus we saw at the conference.
So, how about that? There you go. So, if you were a Christian, say, doing a documentary, and you do a documentary on the Holocaust, right? And so you're talking about the Holocaust and the things that happened. Are you supposed to squeeze like 5 minutes into the middle of that show when someone's like doing like an historical analysis of the Holocaust? All of a sudden you go, okay, break. We're going to take 5 minutes now to talk about the gospel.
You just
and
have
it's like, wait.
Jesus wept and then continue.
Can I have some Francis Schaeffer quotes on this
please,
very subject?
Please. Okay.
Okay. Francis Schaeffer from Art in the Bible. Christian art is the expression of the whole life of the whole person as a Christian. What a Christian portrays in his art is a totality of life. Art is not to be solely a vehicle for some sort of self-conscious evangelism. A Christian should use these arts to the glory of God, not just as tracks, mind you, but as things of beauty to the praise of God. An artwork can be a doxology in itself. There we go.
Yeah.
Francis Schaeffer.
Nice.
So, you know, we've said this before, and I'll just stay in this just for a moment. I mean, just a second. Christians throughout history, like we were leading the way when it came to architecture, to education, to science, when it came to art, and now we're in this weird place where people suggest such things like, you know, you have to have a 5-minute gospel presentation in any movie you do, and let's just say that's crazy, and no wonder the world thinks we have nothing good to offer in terms of art, because they think, well, you're not even really any good at art. You're not any good at film or television. You're not any good at writing scripts. And because all you can do is do your 5-minute gospel presentation. How about Christians be great at art for the glory of God? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever you do in word or in deed, you know, do to the glory of God. How about we do it great for God? And then we live lives where the lives are glorifying God and we preach the gospel constantly. Like,
God's art is all of creation, and the Bible says in Romans 1 that that's not enough to save anybody.
And it's beautiful art.
Yeah, general revelation. Art is general revelation.
Yeah,
it's not special revelation.
Every night in Arizona, let me just say one thing about Arizona that's beautiful, is Arizona has some of the greatest sunsets.
That's true.
I mean, anywhere in the world.
And lightning storms.
Yeah, I've been everywhere. I've been all around the world, and Arizona has, without question, some of the greatest sunsets in the world. And they're beautiful. I mean, the sky looks like cotton candy. Blue cotton candy, and it's just amazing. And every night, God just like splats up in a banging, amazing sunset, and it's glorious. And there's no gospel in that, but it's art, it's beautiful, it's the glory of God. There is not a single artist in the world that can do with the greatest skill what God does every day, like, nothing. Like, every day, just splashes the most amazing thing up. And you know what? There's no gospel presentation in that. It's just there for the glory of God, and of course it shouts to his praise, but there's special revelation that comes, you know, beyond that general revelation. And you know, I think Christians as image of God should make great art like God does. And no, the gospel doesn't need to be in every single piece of art. That's so unnatural too, isn't it? Like, you do a movie and all of a sudden like you're like, okay, breakaway now, let's have an altar call in the middle of the film, or that's so strange. I think we should beat the world on their own ground and do things better than them.
Yeah.
And let me. So,
if you're going to put a gospel presentation in your movie, it should be done like the apostle.
Mm. Yeah, that was so organic.
Don't you agree, Joy?
Wasn't it?
That was so organic.
Know. I've never seen it.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Say, did you watch it yet? Oh, my goodness gracious.
Austin, you haven't seen The Apostle?
We talked about this.
This is your last show. No, but you're right. That was like in The Apostle. That was a great film, Marcus. And then that presentation of Christ at the end there, like, was so organic. It was just part of the film, natural. And it just felt like it wasn't forced. So, yeah, I thought that was great, man.
Were you going to say something, Joy?
I was just going to say basically what Marcus said. Like, God is the original creator. Mm. And he also made us creative. We're in his image. Like, I think there's evidence enough in the world that, like, there's people with natural ability to draw or paint or photograph.
Not me.
I don't think that's by
true that
mistake. So
I wonder, need if your help, Luke.
I wonder if there were, like, I wonder if there were people at the construction of the temple that was like, I don't see the gospel message in those tassels on those robes, guys.
Probably.
Right. Probably. Like,
oh, where's probably. The gospel in, the, in those tassels?
They just weren't able to comment on it on the internet.
They were that beautiful beading and jewelry. Where's
Jehovah
Jesus?
Jehovah Jukin.
Jehovah Jukin.
Hashtag Jehovah Juke.
Seriously. We're going to get in trouble for this episode.
No, it's true. Schaefer talks about it in his book.
Yeah.
He talks about how a lot of the art was just art. There wasn't, like, you know, you did have the lampstand and you did have the Ark of the Covenant that did have meaning that would be revealed later. But a lot of the art, like the beading that went around the temple and like the jewelers and stuff, they weren't given specific instruction as to what to design. They were just told to make something beautiful based on, you know, their own creative abilities, and God used that and blessed that, but there was no, like, meaning behind it other than the fact that it was beautiful for beauty's sake.
Yep.
Amen.
So, you should check out the next episode of The Studio. I think it'll get better and better and better. Of course, we're not Steven Spielberg, and you'll see the quality improve, and we just want to do it to the glory of God. We want you guys to enjoy it. We want it to be something you can watch with your kids. You know, and there's not, you know, a lot of stuff like that on media today where you don't have to, you know, give earmuffs to your kids. And so we hope that this is something you'll enjoy. So let's
yes, we do know it's like The Office.
What?
We are aware of that similarity. No, it's not.
Yeah, people are like, it's like 20 comments deep. But this is just like The Office, guys.
You know what else The Office is like? The UK version of The Office.
And you know what that's like?
Or mockumentaries that were done before The Office.
Right. What was that thing you were talking about, Marcus?
Best in Show.
Yeah.
So mockumentaries have been around for a long time.
Yeah, sure have. Well, speaking of mockumentaries, the debate happened.
Fantastic.
The debate happened between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and it was interesting. We're in here in the studio. We watched it together, and that was a lot of fun. We should do that for every debate, just sit here and watch it together, because I actually enjoyed that with you guys. It's just a sad experience when you do that home alone. There's no one to slap and yell at, and
I can't imagine just sitting at home watching that by myself.
Yeah,
that would be really depressing.
Depressing. Yeah. So we're going to try to review some of that for you guys today. But before we do, I'm sure many of you guys have seen this already, but it's a lot of fun. Zach Galifianakis interviewed Hillary Clinton on his show Between Two Ferns. And I am surprised, commentary before, guys, I'm surprised that he got away with what he got away with. And I just can't imagine that last comment he makes at the end here, you're going to hear in a moment. I can't imagine that she was prepared for that she was going to allow that. I think it just happened. I think she maybe signed a contract because it just made her look so bad.
But it makes her look hip because she went on this cool, funny show.
That's honestly probably worse.
I agree, but right. I think they're,
I'm sure
publicists
that's why
are like,
she
oh, you
agreed
might look,
to do it. Yes.
Yeah, more favorable to the younger crowd. So,
or right. Like she's a good sport, or
right.
I think she got throttled.
I think that like when he did President Obama, he showed a much higher level of respect for the president in the midst of being playful. And I just thought that the way this went, it just seemed like just sheer disrespect at every turn. So we're going to play it for you right now. This is Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis and Hillary Clinton.
he? Where's Zach?
What? Just trying to scare her. I'm not getting the Halloween spirit of it all.
That, by the way, real fast, that's one of the things I love about Zach Galifianakis is the way he says words, and he says them in such a strange way. And like that right there, I'm trying to get into the Halloween spirit of it all. Like, just this way just kills me.
Not a good idea around the Secret Service. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Okay. Just let's start.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. I'm your host, Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Hillary Clinton. Thank you very much, Mrs. Clinton, for being here. Critics have questioned some of your decision-making recently, and by you doing this show, I hope it finally lays that to rest.
Oh, I think it absolutely proves our case, don't you?
Are you excited to be the first girl president?
Well, I mean, being president would be such an extraordinary honor and responsibility, but being the first woman elected president and what that would mean for our country, and particularly what that would mean for, you know, not just little girls, little boys too, that's pretty special.
Mm-hmm. Not to take away from the historic significance of you perhaps becoming the first female president, but for a younger generation, you will also become their first white president, and that's pretty neat too. As secretary, how many words per minute could you type? And how does President Obama like his coffee? Like himself? Weak?
You know, Zach, those are really out-of-date questions. You need to get out more.
What happens if you become pregnant? Are we going to be stuck with Tim Kaine for 9 months? How does this work?
I could send you some pamphlets that might help you understand.
First, you supported Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, and then you were against it. I think that people deserve to know. Are you down with TPP?
I'm not down with TPP.
No, you're supposed to say, yeah, you know me. Like the hip-hop group.
Don't tell me what to say.
Fine, lose. Shit. Let's talk about Trump.
Let's.
When you see how well it works for Donald Trump, do you ever think to yourself, oh, maybe I should be more racist? When he's elected president and Kid Rock becomes Secretary of State, are you going to move to Canada or one of the Arctics?
I would stay in the United States.
And what would you try to?
Try to prevent him from destroying the United States.
So you're going to lead the Civil War?
No, I wouldn't take up arms. I think that might be a little extreme.
Oh, right, because you were saying before we were rolling that you wanted to take away everyone's guns. Very cool. Cool.
I really regret doing this.
Any regrets over losing the Scott Baio vote?
Not a one.
So it wasn't heartbreaking that...
No.
Yeah, but Chachi, I mean, who's going to be next? Max Headroom? I'd love to meet the person who makes your pantsuits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because for Halloween, I wanted to go as a librarian from outer space.
I think that would be a good look on you.
Have you thought about what you're going to be wearing at the debates?
You know, there's this thing called the double standard, and so I think about, well, what should the first woman nominee of one of our two major parties wear to the debate? And I have no idea, so if you've got suggestions, I'm open to them.
Do you wonder what your opponent might be wearing? I mean,
I assume he'll wear, you know, that red power tie.
And then in the debate, she wore the red power suit.
The red power suit.
Wait, Austin?
Wait, what just happened?
Hey, surprise.
How'd you get over there?
He's throwing his voice.
Austin vanished into the control room, and now he's like in my ear.
That's right.
Well, that's amazing.
And I can hear everything.
There you go.
Maybe like a white power tie.
That's even more appropriate.
When you went to Donald Trump's wedding, did he write his own vows? And did Michelle Obama write Melania's?
I really couldn't see or hear very well, so I'm not quite sure what his vows were, but I'm sure they were great and huge and wonderful.
Like his bowels. Chelsea, your daughter, and Ivanka Trump, Trump's daughter, are friends. Does Ivanka ever call Chelsea, you know, to talk about boys that might have crushes on her, like her dad?
I don't think so.
What's going to be the number one focus of your presidency?
Oh, Zach, it has to be the economy. We need more good jobs with rising incomes. We've got to make the economy work for everybody, not just those
we
at
need
the top?
To take it. We need to take a break. We just need to have a word from our sponsor. Okay.
Washington is broken. The truth is, too many politicians are totally controlled by special interests and lobbyists. We're going to make America great again. I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
He approves the message.
Why would you play a commercial from my opponent in the middle of our interview?
He paid me in steaks.
I'd be afraid to eat them if I were you.
It's a good cut of meat. Well, this has been a lot of fun, Mrs. Clinton. We should stay in touch. What's the best way to reach you? Email?
You've got mail.
Oh, he just trolled Hillary Clinton. All right, guys, quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to try to review some of the debate here. Stay with us. ApologiaRadio.com is where you go to get more episodes. Don't forget, you can also sign up for All Access, and you can get TV shows, the after shows, Apologia Academy, and you should know that Marcus was able to drop recently two new sets of the Apologia Academy. One, that'll blow your mind, Mitch Stokes, PhD, talking about the biblical worldview and mathematics. Don't let that turn you off. If you're like me and math is your least favorite subject, this will be, I think, a blessing to you. You'll see that only the biblical worldview provides a foundation for mathematics, arithmetic. Also, we just published on the Academy. Ben Merkel on the Trinity. I mean, I lost his last name there for a second. Ben Merkel on the Trinity. Three lectures. Check it out, guys. ApologiaRadio.com. Be right back. Truth you never wanted me.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu.
What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at ApologiaRadio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to Whitfield.edu, Whitfield.edu, Whitfield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend Dr. Kenneth Talbot and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Carefully that at the beginning of the episode today, I quoted from Exodus 20, verse 15. You shall not steal. And it's really powerful how the biblical worldview, having an objective standard from God, word from God, provides a foundation for so much of the discussion that happens right now in the political arena. It's really amazing. I mean, you shall not steal becomes the basis for business. The free market becomes the basis for just taxation. You shall not steal has so much to do with the conflict that we see today in the political arena. And, you know, whether or not you hold to this, that's going to really determine your position on particular policies. You shall not steal. The rights of a person, a citizen, to their own private property. I mean, you have so much of the biblical worldview that provides a foundation for law, especially law in our society. You know, when we came over and we formed a society, a culture, when the Puritans came over, Calvinists came over to this nation and really started a foundation of a society, they looked to God's law as the foundation. And it wasn't arbitrary for them. When they made particular decisions in terms of law, they understood, of course, in their own personal history, the oppression that they experienced over in England in the courts, the difficulties that were there. But they also understood what the Word of God said. And so they had ideas and examples of what was a failure and what were injustices around them in England and, of course, in other parts of the world and in history. But they also had an understanding of the Word of God said in terms of what was just, right, and good to do in a society. And so they built their laws based upon, ultimately, the biblical worldview. And you shall not steal becomes a bedrock principle for a functioning, just society. And so we're going to talk today about some of the debate points that came up. I think today we'll probably have time to talk about some of the taxation and business, and we'll probably have a little bit of time to talk about stop and frisk, which is something that you might have recognized from social media the last couple of days. I'm extremely passionate about because I have love for neighbor, and I believe you ought to as well. We should love our neighbors enough to treat them the way that we want to be treated, and we should understand, of course, that God hates injustice, and he hates when people are abused by law enforcement, and I believe that the government has to answer to God. I believe Christ is on his throne, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's in charge now, and I believe the nations are accountable to God, and of course governments are accountable as well. Governments, of course, in Romans 13 are supposed to be God's servant, executing ultimately what is his will in accordance with his character and his will and his law. You have in Psalm, of course, chapter 2, the Father giving the nations to Jesus and telling the kings of the earth to obey him. And so all of the Word of God becomes relevant in the current discussion. This issue of stop and frisk that came up, I mean, it infuriates me to a degree to see a Republican candidate telling people that he believes stop and frisk is in accordance with the Constitution or good for society. It really is not. And if you look at the Word of God, I think you'll see that. But before we do that, Luke wants to do a bit of a, what is this?
Trivia.
A bit of a trivia. I don't even know how well I'm going to do here, or Joy, I'm not sure how well you'll do. It's a trivia quiz on Trump and Clinton.
I got two separate ones, yeah.
Okay.
Should we introduce?
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I completely lost it there. Yes. We have a guest today in the studio. His name is Sean. He is from Portland, Oregon. He actually, by the way, I didn't even ask you. First, hello, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And so how'd you find out where we were at?
He Luke. Emailed us.
Oh, he emailed you. Yeah. Oh, right on. Good, good.
Jeff was like, I want to know. You tell me. I will stop and frisk you.
So yeah. How did you find
us? If you call us first or you message us first, we'd love to have you over. But yeah, if people just show up, we're like, wait, maybe we'll stop and frisk you. tell us about yourself and how you heard about Apologia Radio.
Well, I had a Mormon neighbor that moved in next door and needed to connect and learn a little bit more about their faith, and ended up finding Apologia Studios online and hearing your sermons and getting involved with following along.
Right on. And you're a member of All Access as well.
Yes.
How do you like it?
Talk in the mic, man.
Yeah, talk right in it. There you go.
Sorry, guys.
You got to kiss it. Yeah, sorry. we didn't give you the instructions. You got to kiss the microphone.
Just listening, and you guys promoting it, and feeling like, man, I'm listening. I don't want to steal, so I'm gonna support the ministry. And
praise God.
Blessing.
Praise God. So you probably didn't even realize you're gonna be on an episode today.
No,
that's what happens, guys. When you come to visit, we throw you in the mix. So
yeah,
that's what'll happen. Well, welcome, Sean, and
you're
free to participate in this trivia right now. All right, Pastor Luke.
Okay, I guess we'll just make it a group effort.
Okay.
Okay, what was Hillary Clinton's major in college?
I would say, is it multiple choice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Communications, child psychology, law, computer science, linguistics.
Child sacrifice.
It's not an option.
Oh, sorry.
It's not one
close.
Of the options.
So, I think it was law.
I'd say law.
Law?
How did she graduate?
I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to go with communication.
Okay, I'm going to go with law.
It's law.
Child psychology.
Okay, So the answer was law. So
yay!
Kudos.
I got it.
Kudos.
I got it.
Okay,
I guess I shouldn't.
I still
be
think
surprised.
It's child sacrifice, but onward.
Well, I shouldn't be surprised it was child psychology because she doesn't handle Trump very well.
Post college was child sacrifice.
There you go.
What was that awesome? I didn't even hear you said.
I got it.
I was listening.
I got it.
I said it. I'm glad it wasn't child psychology because she doesn't handle Trump very well.
Boom.
Okay, here we go.
Also, if she became a psychologist, wouldn't it be Dr. Hillary Clinton?
I don't know. Okay, first question.
Undergrad.
Yeah, undergrad.
Just
what,
went.
What year was,
didn't finish.
Was Hillary born? 44, 47, 51, 53, or 56?
44.
Really?
I'm going to go with 44.
What are the other
ones? I don't think it was 47, 51, 53,
and
56.
No, 47. 56. 47.
I think 56.
Where's her birth certificate?
47.
I think that would...
Where was she born?
Okay, I went with 56 with joy because it was more people thought that. I think we're going to get the correct answers at the end. Okay.
What country were the Philistines from?
56.
Hillary, what city was she born? St. Louis.
What was it?
If she was 56, she'd only be 60. She's like 70.
I won't know till the end. We got to answer all of them.
Oh, you have to answer every one of them? That just draws the whole thing out.
Okay. What city was she born? St. Louis, New York, San Fran, Little Rock, or Chicago?
I would say Little Rock.
That's what I would guess.
What were the San Fran or what?
St. Louis, New York, San Fran, Little Rock, Chicago. I know it's not Chicago.
You said St. Louis was an option?
Yeah.
St. Louis.
I'm going New York.
Oh.
I mean, I think kind of all of them.
Bill's from Little Rock, I think.
Is Hades an option on there?
No. Unfortunately. I'll just go with Little Rock. We'll see at the end.
I'm pretty sure it's New York.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's New York.
I'm 100% it's Hades. So
let's
you
go
guys
with New York.
Just trying.
Let's go. Because she doesn't have the accent like Bill. We'll go with New York. Okay. Hillary received her undergraduate degree from what college? University of Chicago, Michigan State, Oxford, Wellesley, or Vassar?
Vassar. Yasser.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Wellesley. I think that's a girls' school. That's why I'm going to say it.
Okay. Well, we had more people say Vassar, so.
Why do you think it's a girls' school?
I'm just being, I don't know.
Wellesley.
I'm just going with my feelings.
Wellesley
on this
School
one.
For Girls.
Where did she first meet Billy Bob? Not Billy Bob Thornton. Bill Clinton. Austin. At a fundraiser for Jimmy Carter, Yale Law School, Arkansas State Capitol, Hotel in Little Rock, 68 Democratic Convention.
I know the answer to this because I heard Bill Clinton talking about it. Yale Law School.
Okay, we'll just go with that because I have no idea.
I'm still going with the
Yale
hotel.
Law School where she studied communications.
In hell.
Hillary is a member of the board of directors of which company? Kmart, Brown and Williamson, Sony, Microsoft, Walmart.
It would be a company with a lot of unions.
Walmart.
No, it's not Walmart.
Yeah, I think it's Walmart.
No, they don't have unions.
They just have child labor in other countries. I have no idea. It's not Walmart or Kmart, I can tell you that.
What are the options again?
Brown and Williamson, Sony, or Microsoft?
Probably Brown and Williamson. I don't know what that is either.
That's what I was thinking.
Probably a bank.
Okay. What is the title of Hillary's 1996 children's book? She wrote a children's book.
It Takes a Village.
That is the first answer. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
let's see the rest
of them. That's what it is.
It Takes a Village, Hillary, or Harry the Helicopter, not Hillary. Harry the Helicopter, Green Eggs and Spam, Sheldon Has Two Mommies. Now that one I would believe, but it's not her. Millie's book. We'll say It Takes a Village.
That sounds awfully socialist.
It's a well-known thing that she wrote some pretty horrendous things in there.
What is the title of Hillary's second book?
Stronger Together.
No, that's not the correct answer.
Oh.
Dear Socks, Dear Buddy, Stand By Your Man, My Years in the White House, It Takes a Village 2, or the White House Cookbook.
How to Kill Dissenters?
Oh, man, we're going to die.
We're dead.
We're done.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Idiot's Guide to Murdering and Getting Away with It.
Oh, man.
I think it's Stand By Your Man, actually. Maybe. We'll go with it. I don't think it's cookbook because I don't think she's the cooking type.
What does that mean?
Unless she's cooking up conspiracies.
Dang.
What is the title of Hillary's weekly newspaper column?
We're probably going to cut this entire segment.
What is the title of Hillary's weekly newspaper column? Taking it over? Or talking it over?
Freudian slip, yeah. Right there. Sorry, guys.
Who are you kidding? Equal time, the buzz, or from the horse's mouth? If it was taking it over, I would go with that one.
I would say it's probably taking it over. Talking it over.
Okay, we'll go with that. Hillary first served as first lady when her husband Bill was governor of what state?
Alabama.
Oh my gosh, it's Arkansas.
Oh, I thought it was...
No, it's Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, they all sound the same.
Okay.
Because all the states are the same.
Says the guy that says Chipotle.
You want to go to Chipotle?
It is Chipotle.
It's not even spelled like that. Not even phonetically. It would be...
Okay.
Chipotle.
What's the...
exactly how you say it.
What's the other one? What's a really funny one? The... Word you did with the video, Austin?
Suedo,
yeah.
Suedo.
On an appearance on a morning talk show, who did Hillary blame the Lewinsky affair on? Hillary, Bill, the Mafia, a vast right-wing conspiracy, boys will be boys.
Vast right-wing conspiracy.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Okay. Calculating. Oh my goodness.
How did we do?
She was born in 47.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Nicely guessed.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, she's from Chicago. I did not know that.
Chicago.
We didn't do her
again.
That
matches her politics style.
Yeah.
We didn't do her again. She was from Wellesley College.
I knew
well
that.
Well done, Joy.
Hey,
well,
Joy,
well,
look mm-hmm. at you.
You didn't have a... She worked for Walmart, man.
I knew it! I heard that somewhere.
Wow.
I knew it.
Wow.
That's amazing because Walmart is like really anti-union.
I got it right. See? Wow. I heard fantastic. That she was there. Yeah.
She did write It Takes a Village.
Yep.
Her second book was Dear Socks, Dear Buddy. So we missed that one.
Why? What is the content of that book?
Her thing, what her newspaper is talking it over. Arkansas was the right answer, where Bill was governor. And the last one was correct, a vast right-wing conspiracy.
There you go.
We got 50% of them correct.
Oh, all right, that's not too bad. Well, I got a few more of those correct, but you just didn't select the answer that
Joy
I said.
Joy had one, too.
Yeah, she got one, too.
I think we all had...
I did pretty good, I'm happy.
We all had the majority of them if we...
I think we did all right. Okay, next,
anyways.
Trump. Let's do
okay,
Trump.
Okay, we'll do Trump.
Let's see.
Okay, so they have this first question that's not really part of the quiz, but Donald Trump does not drink alcohol because he's a Mormon. He hates the taste. He's allergic. His older brother died from alcoholism.
Did you say allergic?
Allergic. I don't think so, but maybe.
I would say his older brother.
He says he hates the taste, I think is what I heard.
I'd say older brother.
We never did find out the answer to that other question.
That's my own answer.
He doesn't own any alcohol.
Okay, brands, here we go.
So he refuses.
He
can't put his name on it, so he doesn't.
I don't know what the answer to that other question was.
Because he hasn't made his own brand yet.
Here we go.
All the other ones aren't as huge.
Donald Trump was voted what by his class of 1964 at the New York Military Academy of Cornwall on Hudson?
Best hair.
That's one of the answers, actually. Class clown, biggest mouth, best hair, or ladies man?
Biggest mouth.
Okay, we'll go with biggest mouth. Although I bet you, I have a feeling it might be best hair. Donald Trump's father was named Fred Trump. What was Fred Trump's middle name? Donald Ronald Ivan or Christ?
Was that an actual option?
Yeah.
I'd say Donald. I think Donald.
I'll go with Donald. Okay. Donald Trump had a daughter with Marla Maples. What is that daughter's first name? Danielle?
Ivanka.
No. Danielle, Markey, Goldie, or Tiffany?
Tiffany.
I think it is Tiffany. Ivanka is with one of his other wives. Donald Trump was awarded what in January 2007? A star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, an honorary Oscar, a Nobel Prize in Business and Commerce, a gold album by the RIAA.
Star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
A Nobel Prize, I think. Yeah.
No, I think it's the star, actually.
Which actually...
I actually think that's
actually
the right
found
answer.
Out you actually have to pay for those. So you're not really...
Well, I'm sure.
You don't really award them. They're
right.
just... You have to donate money to the organization.
Did you say S'money?
I saw Bruce Lee
yeah,
star.
S'money is short for S'money.
That was when I went to Hollywood. I saw Bruce Lee star. That's all I cared about.
Okay.
I also saw a lot of
technically,
very,
if you go
oh
there, don't you see
can
all
we
the
talk
stars?
About, can we talk about that Bruce Lee movie for a second?
Which one?
Remember the trailer we watched?
Yes.
The guy's like, the trailer literally is like, I went to San Francisco looking for sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and then I found Kung Fu.
Wow. The new Bruce Lee movie. That looks kind of interesting.
What does Donald Trump's sister, Marianne Trump Berry, do? Real estate agent, Hollywood talent, agent, can't talk. Agent for models or judge?
What was the first two?
Real estate agent, Hollywood talent agent. Agent for models or judge?
I'm going to say agent for models.
I'm going to say secret agent.
Secret agent. Because I think wasn't Trump like in charge of like the Miss Universe contest for a while? Wasn't
probably.
He in charge of that?
Yeah. Probably.
I don't know.
He owns it.
Does he?
Yeah, he owns it.
Okay. In his Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, he wrote that he briefly thought of attending USC with the idea of becoming a what? Corporate lawyer, sports team owner, film producer, or studio executive? Heart or brain surgeon? I have no idea.
Well, ain't no brain surgeon, so I'm gonna say.
I'm gonna say lawyer.
We'll go with lawyer. I was thinking film producer.
Do you go to school to become a sports team owner?
I don't know. We'll say lawyer. I have no idea.
Is that a degree?
I don't think that's a thing.
Is that a degree? Sports team owner?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, you just have a lot of money.
Right. That's kind of what I thought.
Donald Trump owns Mar-a-Lago, a 17-acre estate in Palm Beach, Florida, built in 1920s by whom? Cornelius Vanderbilt, William Randolph Hearst, Cyril Harris, Marjorie Meriwether Post, Tobacco Harris, Harris, sorry, Doris Duke.
I'm going to go with Hearst.
Cornelius Vanderschmal.
I think it's Hearst, actually. I just was reading an article about it. We'll see. And they're small. A Donald Trump themed board game was released in 2004. What was the game called? Mega Mogul.
Give me all your money.
Trump the game.
You're fired.
Trumpopoly.
How to rule the world.
Win with Trump.
Win with Trump. It's got.
I have no idea. We'll go with Win with Trump.
How to make Christians compromise.
Donald Trump had a small role in the 1990 film. His performance earned him the worst supporting actor Razzie Award. What was that movie? Can't Buy Me Love, Ghosts Can't Do It, Pretty Woman, Taking Care of Business. I'm going to say Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Okay. During an appearance on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, Donald Trump admitted that he had never used what? Marijuana, grocery coupon.
I believe the grocery coupon.
An ATM or deodorant. I think it's marijuana.
I'd say probably marijuana.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's used grocery coupons either.
Yeah.
ATM.
Okay, here we go. Calculating. First answer was he got the Ladies' Man Award. Nah. He had that wrong. Oh my goodness. His dad's middle name is Christ.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We missed it.
I had a feeling it had to be that one because
it was
so,
so weird. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Messiah. Your middle name is Messiah.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
So we had Tiffany Wright as far as his daughter's name. We had the Hollywood Walk of Fame correct. His sister is a judge, not an agent for models.
Oh, wow. I did hear that.
I was right about this one. The USC was he wanted to be a film producer. Shouldn't have listened to Marcus.
What did he go for? What do we say?
We said corporate lawyer.
Oh.
Next one. Oh, no. We are wrong about that property, too. It was this serial heiress Marjorie Meriwether Post.
Yeah. Because that was in Florida. Wait, where, what was that state was that in?
Florida.
Because I think Miami. Hearst was in California.
Oh. The game was called Trump the Game. And
makes
nope,
sense.
The movie
Why
he was in was called Ghosts Can't Do It. Never heard of it.
Ghosts Can't Do
or
It?
Or Goats?
Ghosts.
I just didn't know what you were saying. If you're saying goats
and
or ghosts.
We also missed the last one. He said he never used an ATM.
No, I got that.
Oh, you did?
I said ATM.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So we technically got 20% of the questions correct.
Wow, I did better with Hillary than Donald Trump. Interesting.
There you go.
All right, guys. Thank you, Luke. So we will be right back, guys. Quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk through a few of the points from the debate. We're going to try to do a biblical worldview analysis, talking about taxation, business, private property, the free market. We're going to talk about stop and frisk a bit and talk about the foundation of law regarding that. So thank you guys for staying with us. Be right back. Don't forget to share the episode with someone you know and love. ApologiaRadio.com.
I'm Nathan Bell.
And I'm Greg Dutcher.
Greg and I have the privilege of co-hosting These Go to 11 podcast.
We cover everything from amillennialism to Zeus worship. See what I did there, bro? A to Z?
Yeah, but we do talk a lot about everything. Theology, movies, books, politics, and we have great guests on, too.
Tim Challey, Stephen Altrogi, Dr. John Frame, authors that make us think.
And we're not afraid of controversy either. Calvinism and Arminianism, charismatic gifts. If it's a lightning rod,
then we're going to set it high on the roof in a thunderstorm.
So join us each week. At least one new episode is released every Tuesday night after 10, because every episode goes to what, Greg?
Oh, we'll just let Nigel say it.
These go to 11.
Ladies and gentlemen, beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles. Not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on a lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA, and you can save some money while you save your face.
A whirlwind of praise from below till above, tip, flight in the sky, wings like a dove, soaring to smile, men and angels calling home.
I thought it was really cool. Sarah.
Yes.
We discovered when Pastor Luke and I went to the funeral home, to the mortuary. We went to be with the family while they made the plans. We were trying to just get everything lined up for her funeral service. And, you know, it was really difficult. It was hard. Can you turn it out just a little bit? That was a difficult thing to go through. But we were planning the service, and Marcus was going to make the memorial video. And I was like, okay, well, did Sarah have any favorite worship songs?
Right.
You know, what would she want? What will remind you of her? That kind of stuff. So they couldn't really think of anything. They thought, oh, she loves, you know, Amazing Grace. She loves Be Thou My Vision. And then I think Luke asked, did she ever have any songs that like annoyed you? And then Brad was like, oh, well, she loved that one Jewish.
What do you say? Some kind of like reggae.
Jewish reggae guy.
Yeah.
And so we're like, Modest Yahoo. And he was like, yeah, she loved him. And then he said One Day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, my respect level just went up for Sarah. Yeah. She was a big fan of Modest Yahoo. Right on. If you don't know who Modest Yahoo is, get to know who Modest Yahoo is. So we decided to do something kind of special for you guys. We finished the last segment, and we had a whole show planned for you guys on the topics that we talked about. But we also had a TV show to complete with Gabe Wrench, who's a deacon at Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, and he's also a host on Cross Politic. And we did a whole show talking about the Trump-Clinton debate. And we thought, hey, this content is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and just splice that audio into this show, because we thought it would we thought it'd bless you guys. So that's what we're going to do right now. You guys are going to get to hear the Apologia TV show and after show. You're going to get the audio from that right now. I think it was a great show. It was a lot of fun to do. I think it'll be very helpful for people. Only problem is a few times he came in through Skype, and the Skype got a little sketchy a few times, but that's about it. Other than that, I think it's great, and we hope you guys enjoy it. So right now, we're going to play the audio from Gabe Wrench on Cross Politic. Unless, Marcus, you got something?
Well, I actually just, in between breaks while we were having lunch, I actually listened to the Cross Politic show.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, good.
It's really good. So it's a great podcast. One of my new favorites.
Right on.
So you can get it at crosspolitik.com.
Good, good. So here we go. Here's the audio. Gabe Wrench with CrossPolitik right here on Apologia. All right, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Apologia TV. In the studio today with the Bear.
What up?
I'm the Ninja, and that is King Ginger right there. You guys can get more at ApologiaRadio.com. That's where you can get every television show, every after show, and including Apologia Academy, where we just recently dropped some fantastic academies. We have an academy with Dr. Mitch Stokes, and it is on mathematics. And before you say, well, why would I ever want Apologia Academy for that? It shows the biblical foundation, the biblical worldview as the only ultimate answer for arithmetic. It is really phenomenal. It's great for apologetics, for all you apologetic ninjas out there. And we just dropped a complete series on the Trinity with Dr. Ben Merkel. Right. It really blessed your life. So I encourage you guys to go sign up for all access at apologiaradio.com and get into it. Marcus.
Hey.
What are we doing here today?
We're talking about politics.
We're going to talk about politics.
Uh-oh. Isn't that fun?
Religion and politics.
Yes. Great. I'm
right?
excited.
That's an amazing thing.
Yeah. But not just with anybody, though.
That's right. Tell us about our guest.
Our guest is Gabriel Wrench, and he is a deacon at Christ Church and the host of CrossPolitik Radio.
Right on.
And a struggling entrepreneur.
And a struggling entrepreneur, apparently.
Yes. So,
you still forgot Waterboy.
And a Waterboy.
Hey,
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
There you go. That pop culture reference, yo.
That Mitch Stokes stuff is awesome. No God, no logic, no math.
That's right.
Yeah, it's great. Why don't you tell us about your show?
Yeah, so Cross Politics Studios, we started a show and podcast, just released and went live this week. We're super excited about it. Cross Politics, Jesus over politics. We want to bring, you know, the gospel of our Lord over politics, over culture. You know, it's kind of the there's no corner on this earth where Jesus is not applicable, where Jesus doesn't apply to our lives. And we want to do this in a way where it's kind of a biblical balance of laughter, truth, and sarcasm. So I'm super excited about the show. And we actually, the shows that we dropped this week were, one was Why Mormons Aren't Christians. The other show was America's Past Shame and Why the Civil War Still Matters.
Ooh.
And then the third show was with Brett McCracken on hipster Christianity. So those are the three shows that we dropped this week.
We know a little something about hipster Christianity.
A lot of those sound like our shows.
Yeah. Are you copying off our shows, Gabe?
Hey, you guys. Long story short, I serve as a deacon at Christ Church, and I got a lot of energy, and I'm always thinking of ways that I can serve in a way that I feel like I'm really hitting kind of the hammer on the nail for me. And so I've been thinking about podcasting and radio, and I'd even done a little research on it. But then I found your guys' podcast, you know, my boy Darren Doan, Nate Wilson, some of these, and of course, David Shannon, Chocolate Knox, one of our hosts. I kind of found out about your podcast and started listening to it. And you guys had something really good that I wanted to imitate. You guys actually, I think, kind of gave me the confidence to say, hey, I think this is something we could do. And it's something that will actually be a benefit. I saw how you guys were benefiting people. And I was like, I think we can do kind of copy you guys.
Praise God.
Something worthy of imitation.
Awesome, man.
There you go, man. So your perspective in Cross Politik is you think that Jesus Christ is Lord over every realm and God has something to say, even in the political arena. That's Amen. That's your focus,
Abraham Kuyper, lordship.
Yeah, that sounds like post-millennial nonsense to me, Gabe. If you ask me, and I love it.
I was thinking about you guys this last week, and I love your guys and how you emphasize God's sovereignty and everything, and I also think that you're basically closet covenantal Calvinist. So we're praying for you guys.
Okay. Nice.
Marcus, bite your tongue.
Yeah, Marcus, hold still. Marcus, do your best to stay quiet.
I'm not in the closet.
All right, so
I'm just for Jeff to change those dry baby dedications into a little water, a little wetness.
Believe me, Marcus has tried. Yeah, he's Marcus is working on it. All right, so hey, this is a great opportunity for us right now. We have Cross Politic and Apologia TV together now, talking about political stuff, important political stuff that does directly relate to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to sin, to theft, thou shalt not steal, to the free market, private property, God's sovereignty, and then the delegated sovereignty he gives to people over their own property. And we can talk about taxation, what is just taxation, what is actually theft. We can talk about stop and frisk today, which I hope we get to. So let me go ahead and set this up. We just experienced the first debate between the two primary candidates.
I thought you were going to say debacle.
Yeah, well, I was fighting hard not to let that word come out of my mouth. So, of course, first debate happened just this week, this past week, between Donald Trump and Secretary Hillary Clinton, and they ran the gamut. They talked about a host of different issues. Just quickly, because we're going to play a clip when we come back and start actually engaging it, let's talk just quickly about, in the next 2 minutes, what did you think about it? My personal thinking is I can't first believe that we're in the place that we're in right now, where we have two candidates saying what they're saying. Absolutely. Right now. You have a man like Donald Trump representing the Republican Party, apparently what people see as conservative today. I think actually in the 50s and 60s, he would be seen as a radical left-wing socialist in many respects, and now he represents the Republican Party. I think that Donald Trump started off extremely strong. I think he was breaching debate protocol a number of times, but I think he started off very, very strong. And about midway through, he piddled out. You think so?
Yeah.
Oh. No. When I say strong, know this. I don't mean his position
was
good.
Kidding. That's what Donald was doing.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong.
I don't think his positions were good. I think he started off strong in terms of he was on fire. He was lit. And then midway through, it's like he just gave up and got tired or something. Maybe he had to use the bathroom for all that water he was drinking.
He was
now,
drinking a
quickly,
lot of water.
So 1 minute left. Your perspectives, boys.
Go ahead, Gabe.
Yeah, I think I can't believe we've gotten into this place where logic isn't part of a debate anymore.
That's right.
Where's the liberal arts in that debate last night? You know, the other night.
Yeah,
I mean, it's unreal that Donald Trump. I think. I think I agree with you in the sense that he seemed more on his game. But the problem is Donald Trump is only good in brawls.
Right.
And when you narrow it down to just Donald and Hillary, he can't brawl with her in a way he's going to come out on top.
Mm.
Good point. That's actually excellent analysis. So we're going to talk about Trump. If Clinton releases emails, I'll release my taxes. That became a big point of contention for just a bit. That and the question of the racism and stop and frisk. I thought those were some of the most interesting points of the debate. So stay with us, guys. We're going to play clips from the debate. Be right back. ApologiaRadio.com with Gabe Wrench, host at Cross Politic. Stay with us. Welcome back, everybody, to Apologia TV. On today with Gabe Wrench, deacon at Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, host at Cross Politic. We're going to start engaging right now with the recent debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. This particular clip is interesting, and I think we can go a lot of different directions with it. There was a challenge made in the debate that Donald Trump doesn't pay taxes on his 600-some-odd million income. He doesn't pay taxes, and he said in response to her saying that, that's because I'm smart. But he said in the debate that he, and of course this isn't going to happen, but he said, I'll release my taxes when she releases her 30 some odd thousand emails. And so here is the clip.
I don't mind releasing. I'm under a routine audit and it'll be released. And as soon as the audit's finished, it'll be released. But you will learn more about Donald Trump by going down to the federal elections where I filed a 104-page, essentially financial statement of sorts, the forms that they have. It shows income. In fact, the income, I just looked today, the income is filed at $694 million for this past year, $694 million. If you would have told me I was going to make that 15 or 20 years ago, I would have been very surprised. But that's the kind of thinking that our country needs. When we have a country that's doing so badly, that's being ripped off by every single country in the world, it's the kind of thinking that our country needs, because everybody, Lester, we have a trade deficit with all of the countries that we do business with of almost $800 billion a year. You know what that is? That means who's negotiating these trade deals? We have people that are political hacks negotiating our trade deals.
The IRS has an audit of your taxes. You're perfectly free to release your taxes during an audit. And so the question, does the public's right to know outweigh your personal...
Well, I told you, I will release them as soon as the audit. Look, I've been under audit almost for 15 years. I know a lot of wealthy people that have never been audited. I said, do you get audited? I get audited almost every year. And in a way, I should be complaining. I'm not even complaining. I don't mind it. It's almost become a way of life. I get audited by the IRS, but other people don't. I will say this. We have a situation in this country that has to be taken care of. I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes. When she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted, as soon as she releases them, I will release my tax returns.
All right. So he'll release his tax returns when she releases the 33,000 deleted emails. Now, I'll just say quickly, and Gabe, I want to hear what you have to say here. I'll just say quickly, I thought that this is a particular point that could have gone a different way for Trump. Her response was seems like it was about a 10-second response to the deleted email question, and he just let it go.
Yeah.
From my perspective, I thought I thought he was going to use that like a bat, and he didn't. So, Gabe, what do you think?
Yeah, so I think first of all, this has been the first. Or there's probably a number of debates I can think of, but the first presidential debate where it's down to two. And I just couldn't believe a word either of them said almost the whole time. Donald talked about not releasing his tax returns, and then Lester responds with actually being under audit, it's not that big of a deal. And Donald just, he evades the question and response there. He can release his tax returns. He's obviously hiding something there, just like Hillary's hiding something. And that happened several times in this debate where they're both either dodging or hiding their questions and their answers in this whole thing. And so the whole tax thing with Donald, I thought was just silly. He's hiding something. And it's only to his detriment that this is causing a whole problem. One of the other things in all this, back talking about biblical taxes, biblical taxation.
Yes.
We have a huge problem here. Christians do not know how to think about biblical taxation because we're becoming more and more kind of enslaved to the system, which means it's harder for us to think objective about what that whole process should look like in the first place.
Okay.
When Samuel was talking to Israel, and Israel was requesting a king, I believe this was in 1 Samuel chapter 8.
Yes.
Samuel said, there were people requesting a king, and Samuel responded with, well, this king, he's gonna take your children and turn them into warriors. He's going to take your horses. He's going to take your tenth of your grain, a tenth of your vintage, and give it to his officers and servants. He was saying that as a bad thing.
Right.
And so we're so far off on this whole taxation thing in the first place. And that was Hillary's response was, oh, well, we don't even think you're paying taxes in the first place.
Right.
Well, let's talk about, I would love for all our states to pass legislation that would say, okay, this is when too much taxation is stealing. I don't even care if they say 25%. 25% is too much stealing, and if we tax our people over 25%, then we have to return. But no legislator is going to put a cap on how they can manipulate the people. That makes sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you're exactly right, is that we as modern 21st century evangelicals, we think about taxation, and the first thing people do when you say, oh, well, taxation might actually be theft in the level that it's at today, the first thing Christians do is they whip out the verses where you're told to pay your taxes.
Romans 13, man.
And Caesar.
They render to Caesar and pay your taxes. See, render to whom taxes is due. And we have to start thinking about that. You go, whoa, wait a second. This nation was set up by Christians. And, we started this thing. And I remember a particular point in our history where we actually started to fight a war for independence because of taxation that was nowhere near the level of taxation that we're at today. I mean, not even anywhere near close. And there was no issue of income tax to be debated at that point. And so we're there now. We have this overblown taxation just across the board. And then we have income tax that we're talking about taking 50% of a person's property and their income. They labor and you're going to take their income. And it's really, when someone owns your labor and what it produces, that's, I mean, I think we have a word for that. And I think we call it slavery. And when you look
at, particularly thinking of like property taxes.
That's right.
You have to pay your property taxes. If you don't, what happens?
Well,
it gets confiscated.
They'll take your property. Yeah.
Right.
They'll steal that from you.
Who's the slave in that scenario?
That's right. Right. That's right. And it really is actually compelling to think about the fact that if you would have spoken to people in this nation not very long ago, if you could mention to them, hey, look, you're going to be at a particular point in our nation's history where they're taking upwards of 40%, 50%, 60% of people's income, what you earn for your labor, they're just going to take it right off the top. They're going to take it before you get it. People would just be just responding in horror, I can imagine. And we're here now. And I think you're right, Gabe. I mean, we just accept this now. And we say, well, that's because they're allowed to tax. And you're right. I mean, even if you said, cap at 25%, there's no way they would do that because it just can't stop there. And the problem is that you have people taxed right now at a level that is absolutely tyrannical, and it is unbelievably theft at every level. No other way to describe it. It's just simply theft. And we just accept it without asking the deeper questions of private property, somebody's labor, what they own. Yep. And we have a government now that actually can't even, at the level they are stealing now, can't even function as a government at the level they are stealing now. They say, no, we need more. Mm. We need to steal from you even more because we have all these other programs to pay for. And so, so talk about that for a second. I'm going to stick to this issue of theft just a little bit more.
Our government has turned from a servant into a leech. Our government has turned from a servant into a leech, into a bad lord. Government should make a great servant and a bad god.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at the scenario.
Yeah,
and that's I think if people were thinking like Christians on this, and you have that whole exchange between Hillary and Donald, I think most of that exchange would actually be turned into something laughable. Even though I think in terms of points being scored, Donald scored a good point there, and I think most people took that point. But if you actually thought like a Christian on this, you'd be laughing. First of all,
hang on one sec, Gabe. Be right back, guys. Apologia TV, stay with us. Back on Apologia TV, guys, right now with King Ginger the Bear, and on with Gabe Wrench, deacon at Christ Church, host of Cross Politic. All right, Gabe, we left that last segment talking about thinking as a Christian and how that would affect how we viewed the debate this past week. Yeah. So go on.
Yeah, so if we're thinking about Christians in that whole exchange, we'd be laughing about what is the IRS doing auditing Trump in the first place?
Right.
Like that should be laughable to us. Mm-hmm. How tyrannical and how legalistic does our government need to be where they need to dig into our finances to make sure we are paying them what they think we need to pay them in the first place? We'd be laughing about Donald Trump kind of evading the whole answer in the second place. And then lastly, Hillary Clinton, she's the only one who's actually broken the law in all this discussion.
Right.
And yet, she's actually the only one who actually purposefully deleted her emails, actually purposefully did what she's doing. And then she gets away with it. You know, it's like, how did we get into the situation where our two presidential candidates are dodging, being illogical, and not seeing the fundamental issues that are going on, and then doing illegal things in all of this, and on top of all of it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we are not saying as Christians that the government does not have the right to engage in taxation. There's a righteous level of taxation that God has given two institutions the right to ownership of a particular portion of our property and money. He's given the church that right to take the tithe, and he's given, of course, the government authority to be able to actually do taxation. But of course, that doesn't mean a broad take whatever you please. There is, of course, theft, and there is, of course, an issue of oppression and slavery. And there is just no question about the fact that we are there today. Again, if we were educated in the way that we ought to be educated, if we knew our history, if we knew worldview, what people are thinking, and we could look back to the origin of our nation and see just what their grievances were, what they would actually protest against, I mean, we would be in shock. But we don't learn that, of course, when you have government education.
Right.
The government, of course, controls what you know. And here we are. And so our two candidates.
So what's a biblical form of taxation, Gabe? So is there a just way to gain finances for to fund the government?
Yeah. So we're in this part of, obviously, the reason why we're in this in the first place. The reason why we're in this silly taxation system in the first place is because the church, for one, hasn't taught clearly on this issue. And secondly, people just aren't even following God's word on the clear principle of tithing. The average tithing, I think, nationwide in the church is what, 2 or 3%?
Right.
You know, where that's even vastly clearer than some of the principles maybe God's given us for taxation on the government, and we don't even follow those clear tithing principles.
Yes.
And then on the taxation side of things, I think God is sovereign. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So the government should collect maybe under, 8%. Let's cap taxation under what God collects. And then let's remove taxation from any sort of manipulative, coercive model.
That's the point. Yes. Yes.
That's where you got to go.
Yes.
And taxation should tithe. It's because you are doing this out of duty, out of free will, and out of grace, because you love your country and you love your church.
That's right. That's right. And here's the thing. I think that if, of course, we all know, we're all Calvinists here, we all agree, we have to have a heart change first. Only God can do that. It has to be about the gospel. People need to repent of their sin and trust in Jesus Christ before they're ever going to want a system that is godly and righteous and just in society. But, I mean, that's exactly a good point. If we had a righteous form of government where the government is functioning in their duties that they're obligated to perform. If you have a government that is actually functioning the way that God says it's supposed to function, you know, delivering justice, handing out justice to where justice is due in terms of punishing evildoers, organizing for national defense, of course, that could be a role of government, enforcing contracts. If you have a government that's it's staying within that framework, well, I think you have a society that is more willing to actually give towards that cause of justice in society. But we're not there now. We're in a place where we're just being robbed left and right on every single dollar. I mean, every single dollar you make is taxed up and down and sideways over and over. And you're taxed when you die. You're taxed when you're dead now. You know, I mean, think about it. You know, we've talked about on the show before how now the government in America has taken the role of firstborn in Scripture. The role of family inheritance. Now the government says, well, I'll take the inheritance. Thank you. And that's where we're at.
I think there's one of the things. The other thing that's going on here is God has given us, you know, the three spheres of government. He's given us church, family, and civil authority.
Yes.
And whenever one of those authorities either abdicate, like we have in the church, then the other authority is going to take over. And that's where we've gotten to. I can't tell you if this goes back to the abortion situation when the David Daldian videos were out in full steam and full public view and all the energy was around those videos. How many churches, how many pastors did you know of preach from the pulpit against abortion in that moment? Mm-hmm. I can think of maybe like five on my hand that I heard about. Yeah. You know, we have the church refuses to preach on issues that they are timid or scared to preach on, and they need to, and we need to release the Bible on our people.
Release the Bible on our people. I like that. That's nice. Good.
That's awesome.
All right. So much to talk about. We're going to end this segment here and go into our after show. If you are watching this right now, we're going to end the segment and we're going to actually head on over to the after show where we're going to continue on with Gabe Wrench from Cross Politic. We're going to talk some more about private property, the individual sovereignty, and we're going to talk about just, let's put it this way. We're going to talk about something called stop and frisk that was also brought up in the debate. And that's an issue where it was amazing. Marcus and I were talking about it. It was the moment in the debate where a radical liberal chastises the conservative nominee on something not being constitutional.
Yeah.
And you have Donald Trump advocating for stop and frisk. And we have to ask some deep questions. What would the Bible say about this? If we were to use the Bible as our guide, if we use the biblical worldview and framework to filter through these questions, what kind of conclusions would we come to? And I think that we can agree once we look at it that we wouldn't come to the conclusion that Donald Trump comes to. And so it's a strange place. We're in a weird, I don't know, rabbit hole. We're in a weird place right now where you have Hillary Clinton telling somebody, well, that's not constitutional. That's amazing coming out of her mouth. So we'll be right back, guys, right after this. More on Apologia TV at the after show. You can get it at apologiaradio.com, APOLOGIA radio.com. Sign up for all access. Don't forget to go over to missionaware.com. Pick up a t-shirt. They support the work of Apologia Church. You should support them. We'll catch you on the other side, apologiaradio.com. Hey guys, it's Pastor Jeff Durbin with Apologia Church, Apologia Radio, and Studios. I'm here to talk to you today about Summer White. Yes, Summer White, the offspring of Dr. James White. She has a wonderful, delicious new show and website. You can go to sheologians.com, check her out. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Make sure you guys rate it. Leave a comment. Let people know about this amazing show with Summer White and Joy Temby, the girl from Apologia Radio. That's right. Two classy, wonderful, Jesus-loving women talking about solid theology, talking about God and the world. You don't want to miss it. Sheologians.com is where you go. And don't forget, if you're blessed by the ministry of Sheologians, Summer White and Joy Temby, make sure you guys help it happen. Go to patreon.com/sheologians. patreon.com/sheologians. Offer some monthly support. If you love solid theology and ladies, you should support the ministry and the work of Sheologians. It's two ladies talking about the Lord, the Word of God, and the world. It's a study of God. They're talking about amazing things. And sometimes they even talk about feminism. And they critique that in light of God's word. So it might just be a study of the grave. That was actually a theological nerd joke right there. Some of you guys may have caught it. You might want to catch up. It was pretty good. So if you love the ministry of Summer White and Joy Temby, you should support at patreon.com/sheologians. They would be blessed. We would be blessed. We would be grateful. Continue to pray for the work and the ministry at sheologians.com. Welcome now to the after show, Apologia after show. If you're watching this right now, it's because you partnered with Apologia Church, and we want to first start our show today by telling you how grateful we are for you, for your partnership, for participating with us in ministry. It means the world to us. God is using the content of Apologia Church around the world, millions and millions of views, millions of downloads of Apologia Radio. It's going around the world. We got emails from Pakistan, from the Middle East, and all over North America, South America, Japan. We get
England,
all over the place. It really is phenomenal what God is doing.
Moscow,
Idaho. Okay. God is using the content to equip Christians, to bless believers, to solidify them in their faith, to encourage them, and of course, to lead people to Christ. And that's humbling to be a part of that. But if you guys participate with us in ministry, you're a part of all that with us. And so we're just grateful for you. So thank you. Luke the Bear, Marcus King Ginger, still on today with Gabe Wrench, host at Cross Politic. And so we're in the after show right now, so no restrictions. We can do whatever we please now. No time limits. And we can say things we wouldn't say on regular cable television. Not really. Okay. So
we can talk about Texas.
Texas.
No mess with Texas.
So, okay, here we go. So we had the debate, and it's like 2 hours long.
Hour and a half.
Okay, hour and a half long.
It felt longer.
I just felt like they missed so much. And I just felt like it wasn't helpful. And we're going to talk about stop and frisk because I think it's just horrendous. And I can't believe that we're in a place where people, Christians, would go, oh, that sounds good. Yeah, I think that sounds like that'll work.
The thing, thing about that too is Christians are the ones that are going to be the ones being stopped and frisked.
Yeah, I mean,
carrying a Bible. Stop. Let me see what you got.
I mean, we just don't think we don't have a long term perspective, and that's bad. But you know, so before we start it, I just want to say that the thing that threw me the most as I really started to think about what I heard was that Donald Trump. His positions, what he says, you know, people defending him, conservative talk radio, Christians defending him. You know, things that he says are just really, I mean, horrendous and ultimately at bottom sin as government policy and how a country should operate, what a government should do. I mean, the things that he's saying, like I mentioned before, like if, you know, in the 50s and 60s, I think he would be classified as, you know, a liberal and, wow, some seriously socialist tendencies there or radically socialist. And man,
well, he did identify as a Democrat for the longest time.
He did.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. And so now he represents the quote unquote conservative party and he's just spewing liberal ideology and goodness gracious, we're there now. So here's what I'm saying, Gabe, like as we begin to talk about this. As a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, I, of course, want to educate people and speak prophetically into the culture to say, okay, these are God's standards. But at the same time, I recognize, like, if people don't get the larceny out of their heart, then nothing we say is going to ultimately stick. And you can tell people, like, well, that's unrighteous, and you shouldn't do that in government, and you shouldn't do that to people. And I think that people will be like, well, you know, why wouldn't I? Like, I want their stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, I want that money. Like, I want the government to give me money. And, you know, until people start respecting an individual sovereignty that's granted to them by God and start granting to people their rights to their own property, we're not going to hate the idea of stop and frisk until, of course, we have a biblical worldview and people actually respect the way that God set the world up. So, yeah, I'll let you speak to
that. And that larceny, that hard heart problem. It should be no more clear than it is now. I mean, God's given us two candidates where I think both parties at some level are freaking out. I mean, think of Bill Clinton,
right?
And then think of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's twice the devil Bill Clinton is. Donald Trump's three times the devil. He's had three wives. He's been on the front cover of Playboy magazine. It's like all we impeached Bill Clinton,
right?
And here we are fixing to vote for Donald Trump. And all those Republicans who impeached Bill Clinton are now voting for Trump. It's crazy.
Right.
Hard heart, man.
A very hard heart. And of course, let's just go ahead and say it. Because I think we all believe it. We're under the judgment of God.
Right.
And, you know, what did you say, Marcus? You posted, you said, at least God is making our judgment entertaining. Yeah. That's what Marcus
right,
said.
Right.
Just watching that clip of the third party, Gary Johnson, acting like a fool on some interview. And I'm like, this is like, I'm legitimately considering doing a write-in for Ron Swanson at this point.
This is what we got. And so, so God puts wicked leaders over a nation to judge that nation. And so these are leaders. These are the leaders we deserve. They're the leaders that ultimately our country wants. That's why they're in front of us. I mean, believe me, there were better candidates. There were better choices. And this is what we got. And God is sovereign, even over this. So, okay.
Wait, before we go there, Jeff, let me ask you guys this question. What do you guys think of Cruz endorsing Trump?
Oh, I thought it was a disaster for him. I was really shocked. I thought, you know, I think Doug Wilson said it best when he said, you know, he didn't have the charisma, but he had the conviction, and now he doesn't have the conviction.
So lose.
Yeah, okay. Right.
What do I think? I think that Glenn Beck tore into him the other day. That was interesting. Mm-hmm. And so I think that.
And Glenn Beck did all kinds of campaigning for Cruz. Tons.
Sure.
Of campaigning for Cruz.
So I'm sure he's really upset
based on his convictions.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. So, okay, listen, and here's the thing. Look, if you're listening to this show right now, you're new to All Access, and you're like, well, I don't want Hillary to become president. Okay, so we all agree. We understand. I sympathize with Christians today that say, look, I don't want Hillary to run our country. It would destroy us. I sympathize with that. I respect brothers and sisters that feel that way. But, you know, I just want to say as a Christian, as a pastor, like, don't we understand as believers that from the scriptures, we can see that God's judgment is never abated in a nation by compromise. God's judgment is abated in a nation by repentance.
Right.
Never by compromise.
Right.
And so as Christians, it's almost like, particularly Reformed Christians, for goodness sakes, Calvinists, first and foremost, like, shouldn't we understand, like, God is sovereign and we're supposed to stand on principle and stand on the word of God and do what is right and not live being governed by fear and saying, well, look, oh my gosh, what'll happen? Like, if she's in charge and in control, like, how are we going to handle this? Like, well, stand on your convictions, stand on the truth, speak prophetically into the culture. Mm-hmm. And if God determines to judge a nation by putting a wicked woman like Hillary Clinton over it, then we're getting what we deserve. I'd say buckle your seatbelts. Right? Like, get a firm foundation underneath you and preach the gospel. Like, preach the gospel, speak prophetically, but don't compromise.
Right.
Don't compromise. We're not, I mean, seriously, compromising with a man like Donald Trump so that we don't have Hillary Clinton, if the response is, well, my goodness, that would destroy our nation, and what do you think Donald Trump would do? I mean,
it's about all that, but it's about the Supreme Court, though.
Yes.
Like, that's the only thing that matters is who's in the robe.
Right.
But the problem is we don't vote to manage evil. That's what everyone's voting right here is. Okay, how can I manage this
great
problem?
Point.
Oh, that's a good point. Right.
That's great.
That's right. That's good. I'm gonna steal that, Gabe, and I'm gonna say that I got it from me. Okay. all right.
Do
so,
that. I'm just.
Okay. All right. Here we go. So debate reality check on YouTube. Stop and frisk. This is a clip from the debates. It's from CNN. Let's play it right now.
Donald Trump was sort of channeling his convention speech when he brought up the issue of crime, saying something must be done about it, and he likes the idea of police using more stop and frisk tactics. Hillary Clinton says no way. Listen.
We have to bring back law and order. Now, whether or not in a place like Chicago you do stop and frisk, which worked very well, Mayor Giuliani is here, it worked very well in New York, it brought the crime rate way down. But you take the gun away from criminals that shouldn't be having it.
Stop and frisk was found to be unconstitutional, and in part because it was ineffective. It did not do what it needed to do.
So who's right about this? Well, we do know that from 2002 to 2011 in New York City, stop and frisk was stepped way up. Look at the numbers back in 2002 to almost 700,000 in 2011. And crime was going down during that period of time. However, the decrease in crime did not seem to match up with such a dramatic increase here. And just as importantly, out of all these stops they made in roughly this period of time, more than 5 million stops, guns were found on people far less than 1% of the time. And when stop and frisk stopped, the crime rate generally kept going down. So all of that says that Donald Trump's claim about this is simply false, and Hillary Clinton's claim about it is true.
Marcus, you want to say something?
Well, it just struck me. She said it was found unconstitutional because it was ineffective.
Right.
Well, no.
Right.
That's not how it works. No, it's not. So right. it can be unconstitutional if it's effective.
Right.
It can be constitutional.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's crazy. I didn't catch that the first time.
How many of them are for TSA?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Those are Marcus's favorite people, by the way.
Oh, man.
You guys need to do a studio episode on TSA and Marcus.
That would be fantastic.
That would be really, really good. Yes.
Yeah, but then we'd have to pay for them to act.
Carmen
would make a good officer.
We got some video of me being frisked by the TSA.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
We could probably slip that in an episode.
Yeah, sure.
Well, no, that's a good point. So unconstitutional because it was ineffective. No, that's not how it works. The Constitution says what it says, and it's the basis of law. And so, you know, let's think about that for a moment. Stop and frisk didn't work because it's not constitutional because it's not effective. But here's the basis of what they're talking about in terms of constitutional. the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So, stop and frisk. So people say, all right, well, look, you know, police officers have a right, you know, to try to, you know, stop crime from happening in their authority. And so, you know, they can walk into somebody because they're suspicious and they can try to see because they think they have a gun. Well, here's the truth of the matter. Just do an investigation. Look up, stop and frisk, do some examination, look at the details, look at the facts, and you can see that those statistics, by the way, were accurate. I've looked into those exact figures. And yes, it's less than 1% of guns actually were found in all these hundreds of thousands of encounters. So hundreds of thousands of people had their rights violated to produce less than 1% of a weapon found.
Yeah. Which,
tell me
by
how
the
that
way,
works.
We have the right to have weapons.
We have the right to have weapons. And
that's
so
true.
So yeah, it's injustice upon injustice.
Yeah, right.
But when you think about what's happening in stop and frisk, you have somebody that's walking up to a private citizen, and these are the sorts of things that were said to people when they were actually engaged in stop and frisk. And this is on record, by the way. Police officers, you can hear their own voices doing this. You were stopped because you look like a mutt. You were stopped because you were adjusting your waistband. You were stopped because you turned around and looked at me. And so no crime was committed. All right. So think about that for a second now. No crime was committed. The police officer has a lurking suspicion that something is going wrong. And so he comes to you and he invades your personal sovereignty and your right to your own property. And he commits an injustice against you and says, well, I have a personal sneaking suspicion that something's wrong. Well, why is that? Because you look like a mutt. Is that against the law? It looks like a mutt. I guess so. And so,
Marcus is in trouble now.
I violate your rights, and I begin to frisk you and to maybe seize your property and arrest you. Well, here's the thing. Listen, Christians bled and died to fight for these kinds of rights, and they experienced injustice. Say, particularly the Puritans in England, they saw a system go wrong, and when they came over here, they set up a system that would honor God and His law. They understood some of the tragic things that had happened before in the justice system, and they wanted to avoid that. So the mindset, what was in their heads in terms of justice and how we should do this, was a particular way. They knew Christians had fought and died and suffered in their hands of tyranny. And so when these Christians are formulating these ideas early on, it wasn't sort of like hodgepodge and like cavalier, like maybe we should try this, maybe we should try that. They understood God's sovereignty, delegated sovereignty and authority, personal property and rights, the demand of God in the justice system for there to be two or three independent lines of confirmation, two or three witnesses for a crime, for a charge to be brought against somebody. And so they understood you couldn't just walk up to people policing the streets and start saying things like, well, I'm suspicious, and so I'm going to go ahead and violate your rights. And then on top of that, I'm going to make you incriminate yourself by asking you questions and forcing you to answer me. There's a right in God's law not to personally incriminate yourself. There's a right to stay silent. There's a right to not swear an oath and get yourself in trouble, to keep your mouth shut. And these police officers policing the street, violating rights, and forcing people to ultimately incriminate themselves is a complete injustice. And it's an injustice because we've abandoned God, Jesus Christ as Lord, and the word of God is a foundation for our society. And because of that, you have people saying, oh, stop and frisk, not such a bad idea.
You know what it sounds like?
Well, also
Canada.
Also,
I'm not even playing game. Yeah, Jeff and I went to Canada a year and a half ago for a conference, and we both got pulled into the questioning room.
For several hours.
For a long, painful time. And while in line, we were noticing everybody in there either had a beard, was a Christian, or from South America.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, it was interesting. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody that was
in
there.
Everybody in there fell under one of those categories.
Yeah. And Luke and I were in.
Well, of course, all tyranny starts off as a measure of justice for all, and then it becomes discriminatory.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
And you think about this too, Hillary. She wasn't against stop and frisk because she was for the Fourth Amendment. She was against stop and frisk because she was against the Second Amendment, commandment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Well, it's like stop and frisk is like, she actually would want to do away with it all. So she doesn't need stop and frisk. She just needs to get rid of the Second Amendment.
Right. And just some quick stop and frisk facts. This is from the New York Civil Liberties Union, and I understand what some of you are thinking right away. You're like, oh, I'm not going to follow them as a source. But, you know, facts are facts. And these are facts across the board. You need to hear it because it's true. Myth number one, stop and frisk reduces crime and keeps people safer. Stop and Risk is a program that is effective. You used to not be able to walk down the streets in the city safely, and today you can walk every neighborhood during the day and most neighborhoods at night. Ray Kelly. Fact: no research has ever proven the effectiveness of New York Stop and Frisk regime, and the small number of arrests, summons, and guns recovered demonstrate that the practice is ineffective. Crime data also do not support the claim that New York City is safer because of the practice. Pardon me, it's been a long day. While violent crimes fell 29% in New York City from 2001 to 2010, other large cities experienced larger violent crime declines without relying on stop and frisk abuses. 59% in Los Angeles, 56% in New Orleans, 49% in Dallas, 37% in Baltimore. I mean, here's the point I would make on that. You don't have to violate a person's rights to bring down the crime rate. That's not what brings down crime rates. And you can't bring down crime rates by doing, what's the word? I've lost it now. When you try to find a crime before it happens.
Oh, it's I call it minority report.
Justice. Yeah, justice. That's where you go and say, let me find a crime that's going to happen.
Crime before it happens. Right.
Well, by the way. Preventative.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, in the scriptures, you have crime being dealt with in a just way, which ultimately does strike terror into the hearts of the ungodly and the unrighteous. Sure. If they understand that the penalty for this will be severe and just and harmony will be brought, then they're less likely to actually engage in such a practice. But you don't bring down the crime rates by simply going fishing. I mean, it just doesn't work that way.
To your point, Jeff. You know, the God has given the responsibility of the government not to prevent, not have some sort of preventative look into the crystal ball kind of justice.
That's right.
But to react, respond, and to bring justice when something happens. A government that works, a government that believes in preventative justice is a government that's going to fall into tyranny.
Amen. That's right. One more can be said. Myth number two, Mayor Bloomberg's stop and frisk policies cut the number of murders in half. Fact. The murder drop happened before Bloomberg took office. Myth number three, stop and frisk gets guns off the street and therefore prevents murders. And this is an important element to pay attention to. Guns are found in less than 0.2% of stops.
So it's even less than 1% even looks worse when you actually look at the actual number.
Yeah. And here's another one. Myth number four, stop and frisk is not discriminatory. I think the numbers speak for themselves. You just put the numbers out there and you can see. Now, I do think a lot of that has to do with the different communities that this takes place in. They're just predominantly minority communities and everything else. But, you know, we just have to start addressing as Christians without going the liberal direction in this area of the kind of a systematic oppression that happens in some of these areas. Now, is that saying that there aren't good police officers? No. Is that going along and buying into particular ungodly ideologies about class warfare and everything else? No. But you have to recognize that, yes, there is systematic oppression in some areas, and people feel that. They feel the weight of that, and you have to start addressing that. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're white, brown, black, yellow, red. I don't care what color you are, purple or beige. I don't care. This is an unjust practice. It doesn't matter. I don't care who it's being done to. I don't care if you said, okay, look, we'll just do stop and frisk and we'll do it and we won't do it to black people anymore. We'll just do it to white people. I'll say, no. And if you say, okay, we won't do it to white people, we'll just do it to black people. I'd say, no, it's unjust. It violates a person's personal sovereignty and their property. But, you know, I think further, and this is important, when those police officers walk up to a person, they say, well, look, you looked back at me while I was sitting in my squad car. And for that, I've come to search you. And you say, well, why are you searching me? Well, I'm going to find out if you did something wrong.
Right.
That's just not how justice works.
Right. You're right. No way.
That's not how justice works. And if anybody thinks that's how it works, they need to do some reading. They need to read some history, and in particular, read the Bible. Now, if God gives us, read Psalm 119, a law that is perfect, that is good, that we ought to love, that is graciously given to us. You know, if the psalmist can say, you know, I love your law. You know, if we can look at the law of God and say, look, God gave us this perfect system of law and justice in society. And if you look at that law, you don't see God suggesting the kinds of things that happen today in our society. Stop and frisk would be unjust under God's law. Mm-hmm. Now, I think as Christians, we have to think about that. God tells us how to handle this. We're not doing it. And if we look at the ungodly in the world and how they handle it, we have to look at that system and say, that's just not righteous. It's not good. No matter what you think is pragmatic, and that's how Christians often say it. They say, well, this is very pragmatic. You know, it might lower crime. It might help. It's pragmatic. I want to say, well, that's not, that ain't no answer. It's pragmatic. I want to say, is it just? And someone says, well, how do we know what's just? Oh, there's a perfect word from the Lord on this. Let's look at it. All right, Gabe, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking while you were talking that why are citizens putting up with these kind of laws? Why are citizens supporting these kind of laws? My answer, my best guess at this point is because they are being governed by fear. The whole reason why I think the TSA thing is it's uncomfortable for people. Not everyone necessarily likes it, but it's still supported, and it's because they're ultimately scared. They aren't trusting in the Lord. They're trusting in, you know, some sort of protectionism that is detrimental to their freedom in the long term. They care more about their earthly protection than trusting in the Lord. And freedom, in some sense, biblical freedom is risky, right?
Yeah.
Biblical freedom is scary. Biblical freedom is going to get is actually going to let some criminals go. That's what biblical freedom means. If there's not two or three witnesses, then that murder suspect is going to get free. That's just, but I would much rather have that situation happen than someone who's genuinely not guilty and gets convicted under our rigged court system.
There you go. That is a very, very good point to make. Marcus, anything else you want to add?
Well, I just think that it's a tragedy that, you know, we see that the tyranny at the top trickles down to tyranny even at the state and local level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so that's the problem a lot of the black communities are facing. They're saying, hey, you know, like, there's all this tyranny happening here to us, but their solutions are not biblical solutions. It's, well, let's vote for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said it was unconstitutional, right?
Right.
But they also don't see that a lot of their injustice that they're experiencing right now is because of bigger government people like, you know, Hillary Clinton or even Trump. So I think, like you said, like, we have to have like a biblical standard for justice.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Marcus.
Yeah. Yes.
Marcus, you made me think about this whole federal and state issue here and some of the layers here. I would love, here's another, you know, the tax theory that I brought up earlier, if legislators would just vote to cap taxation at 25% or something, I think that would be a special day. It'd be very interesting. Another another experiment I would like to see happen is like, let's say we actually do believe in states' rights. Well, let's let the state of Idaho make abortion illegal, and let the state of Washington have legal abortion. And then let's watch cultures, a culture of life and a culture of death, grow up over the next 30 years and see what really happens.
Mm.
But because federal tyranny wants to flatten everything and doesn't want to give anybody an edge on this whole situation, on our lives, they won't ever let that happen. And the fruit will grow up. The fruit will mature. If our governor Butch Otter really believed in his role as governor, like he should, and said, hey, I'm going to make abortion illegal. Who cares what the Supreme Court said? Because it doesn't matter what you define as not being murder. And I don't care what the Supreme Court says. And Butch Otter makes abortion illegal. And then we watch these two cultures, Washington and Idaho, grow up over the next 30 years. That's powerful.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think we kind of see that in some sense with like unionized states and right to work states. Right, we've seen like in the unionized states, like Detroit and stuff, like just the economy has just gone to nothing, and they're ghost towns now. And then in the right to work states, all those businesses in those states have moved to, you know, union free states where they can hire people as they wish. And so, you know, that's part of the point of having localized governments is that you can just move to a different state, right? The businesses can just move to a different state. But if, you know, Hillary Clinton talked about this in the debate about getting rid of right to work states, you know, of getting rid of that. And what, I mean, you then where do the businesses move? Do they go out of the country?
Right.
Well, so, Hillary just doesn't want to get rid of right to work states. She also wants to spread out corporate earnings, corporate profits across the board.
Right.
That was crazy. Right. Those comments were unbelievably insane.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. You know, I want to make sure we end this episode with a part of scripture here that I think is important and it relates to what we're talking about. Ecclesiastes, it's a book we don't often quote from. Ecclesiastes chapter 8.
Unless you're Presbyterian.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11.
Put a marker on that. Put a marker on that. Take that comment out.
Mark it. All right. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. That should really set within us when we think about issues of crime in a city. So you look at a place like New York City and you look at these difficulties that they have, social unrest, you got crime, you got theft, robbery, you got rape, murder, those sorts of things happening pretty consistently. And I'm sure it's difficult, you know, and I grew up in DC. And so I know what it's like to be in a city where, you know, you're scared for your life in some places that you're driving through. I understand that. And so that resonates with me. But the answer, of course, isn't going to be violating people's rights. So you have the sense of safety. The answer from scripture is because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. You look at a place like New York City or any number of places around the world, doesn't have to be New York City, but any number of places where people's hearts are fully set to do evil. Okay, scripts will go backwards. Scripture says, fully set to do evil because of what? Because a sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily. So you don't have justice in a city when people actually do legitimately commit crimes. There's no harmony brought when there's theft. There's no harmony brought when there's rape. There's no harmony brought when there's murder. And because of that, people go, hey, man, if I get caught, it's three hots in a cot. I get, you know, health insurance. I get to hang out with my buddies in jail. You know, I've run a stretch before. I've had 2 years before. So, you know, whatever. I'll go back again. But how about this? How about if you had a society where if you murder somebody, we kill you back? Like, if you rape somebody and you violate a woman in that way, you're dead. You'll die by the state. It'll be a just sentence on you. If you do these sorts of things, you'll be punished in a just sort of way. Let me tell you, people are going to hesitate to rape and to kill and to steal if they know that when they are caught, they will experience true justice. And their hearts aren't set and emboldened to do evil. And so that's the answer. It's not by violating a private citizen's rights and sovereignty and roughing him up because he looked like a mutt. What is that? I mean, that is crazy. But there you go. So I think that's the answer. We got to look to God's word. So, Gabe, let me ask you this as we finish up the segment. If you had somebody listening to you right now and they said, man, Gabe, I like what you're saying. And, I think you're pretty cool. And, I want to learn more. What are some books that you would recommend for people to start investigating, these kinds of conversations from a biblical worldview?
Ooh, man.
That's a big one. I know.
Yeah, there's a lot. I would start actually probably with apologetics in the first place.
There,
you know,
yep.
Some good old, even I think Kuyper had some interesting, helpful presuppositions in all this, the role of civil versus church and all this process. And of course, his emphasis on sovereignty of God, that changes everything.
Yeah.
Also, The Law of Lesser Magistrates by, one of you guys know the author?
The Law of the Lesser Magistrates.
Truella?
Who?
The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate?
Matthew Truella.
Truella, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good play. I think a lot of kind of actually what shaped my thinking on this has been the sovereignty of God issue, but also in how to think biblically about like economics in all this.
Yeah.
That actually affects a lot of how you think about crime
yeah.
and penalties and all that stuff. And so there's, yeah.
Hey, Gabe, have you?
I got to plug my buddy's book here.
Okay.
Death by Living, Wilson.
Yes.
Wrote Death by Living. And I think that how that affected me in all this was you need to live your life in such a way that you leave your life on the court.
Yeah.
And that changes how you go, your family. That changes how you view your work. You need to live your life in such a way that you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hey, Gabe, have you heard Greg Bahnsen's lectures on biblical economics?
I have not heard them, but my dad used to, when my dad became a Christian back in the 60s and 70s, I think kind of tutored a little bit under Greg Bahnsen. So we had a connection with Greg back in the day.
Nice.
In California. Well, and Rush Dooney. My dad actually tutored under Rush Dooney.
Oh, sweet.
Back in the 70s wow. too. Yeah.
That's good.
So, and I grew up a little side note here, probably doesn't really matter. I grew up in Tyler, or at one point I lived in Tyler, Texas.
Tyler, Texas. No. Yes. Wow, dude. Man, no wonder.
That whole movement. So I was there with Jim Jordan, Ray Sutton, David Chilton.
Gary North. Dang.
Gary North. That's right.
Wow. Man,
right.
Dude, we can have some conversations, man. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, hey, yeah. So just a quick thing. CMFnow.com, I think they recently put up those lectures by Greg Bahnsen on biblical economics, and there's like 9 or 10. Man, you got to hear it. You got to hear it, Gabe. I'm telling you, it'll bless you, and I think it'll provide you some good content for the show as well. We'll probably be reviewing some of that as well, because I think it'll really bless people. And he handles it in really concise way, a simple way. It's not, you know, really heavy Bahnsen where it just sort of gets really difficult. It's well done, and I like to find some way to get this into Christians' hands, because Christians need to hear it. I mean, I think it could start a solid, righteous kind of revolution in a way. So yeah, my recommendation, cmfnow.com, Greg Bahnsen,
thanks, Jeff.
Biblical economics. All right, dude, thanks so much, man. I hope to have you on again sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
We need to return the favor.
Absolutely, brother. We'd love to.
Yeah.
All right, guys, Gabe Wrench, pick him up, host at Cross Politic. And Gabe, where can they go to listen to that show?
Yeah, well, you can go to crosspolitic.com, and of course, you can also search in the iTunes and Google podcast stores for Cross Politic, and it'll come right up. So you can go to our website. You can follow us on Twitter at Cross Politic. You can go to Facebook /CrossPolitic, and you can email us at crosspolitic@gmail.com. So thank Sweet. You guys for letting me get that plug in.
Thanks, brother. Absolutely. All right, man. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Lord bless you guys.
There you go, guys. Our interview with Gabe Wrench, Cross Politic, right here on Apologia. That's it for today, guys. Don't forget to go to missionalwear.com and get a shirt. They support us. They have great shirts.
They do have
you
great
guys
shirts.
You guys should support them. Luke's
wearing one now.
Riggedy Ryle, JC Ryle. It's a great shirt. Thank you, Joy.
You're welcome.
We love you. Hey, guys, check out the studio. Joy wrote that. She wrote that junk.
It's like you said, Joy. Joey.
Yeah, check it out, guys. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this with us. Everyone who supports us, is part of this movement with us. We're just grateful for you guys, as always. I'm Jeff Durbin, they call me the Ninja. That's Luke the Bear Pearson.
Peace out.
Joy the Girl.
See ya.
And Marcus Pittman,
See
King
later.
Ginger. All right, guys. ApologiaRadio.com. Check you next time. Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself? They don't
know
who I am.
Yeah, you can say Joy.
I don't.
You can cut this, so just talk about it.
Yeah.
But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at, like Jeff said, it's Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address is 1805 East Elliott Road, number 112, Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.